This is A Story of Sorts, the podcast mostly about bookish stuff, and I am your host, Karina Pereira. Hello everyone and welcome to another Footnotes episode. Today I'm going to talk about the books I have read in January. Before we start, I just wanted to add a little note that at the beginning, when I say storytell, and I say storytell like a lot, I'm gonna say storytell over and over again, I actually mean Storygraph. I passed from Goodreads to Storygraph. Storytell is another app that I use for audiobooks, but that is not what I meant. I do talk about Storytell, so I will be meaning Storytell one or two times, but the five or six times that you're gonna hear it at the very beginning, it's actually Storygraph. So let's get into it. I know that last year I said that I was going to read fewer books, or at least try not to reach to 100 books like I did last year, because I noticed that that wasn't very good for my reading. But I have actually read quite a lot of books in January, which I did not do on purpose. In a sense, it just happened. Like, I did not try to read as many books as I did. I also read a lot of graphic novels, which were shorter, but in January I've read 17 books. I have right now here a list of the books that I have read, but they are not in the right order that I have read them, because I've switched to Storytel, and I made a mistake when I was writing them down, and I actually was writing down the books that I gave 5 stars to, instead of writing down the books that I read in the right order, but that's okay. I'm also, because there are so many books today, and I don't want to make this episode extremely long, I am also going to talk about the books in, you know, not in a very long way or in a very detailed way. So I am going to just say more or less what I thought of the books, what was my impression of the books. But I have consistently posted on Instagram last month, and so I have a lot of the reviews in there that you can check out anyway. And then you can follow me on Storytel if you want, under A Story of Sorts. I wanted to do the switch to Storytel already last year, but then I was so used to the way that Goodreads works, and I still am actually, but then this year I kind of figured, you know what, I'm not going to try and put anything from my Goodreads on my Storytel. I'm just going to start my Storytel this year in 2022 and go from there. So basically the books that I have right now on Storytel are just the books from 2022 on, and the ones from Goodreads are the books that I had read before. I am not going to try and connect them with each other, it's fine. I have both websites that I can use if I need to go back and check things. Also, Storytel is not from Amazon, but it works the same as Goodreads. And that's why I decided to take the leap and I decided to try them out. And of course, in the beginning, especially when you're used to a website, you are going to have some trouble getting to know the other website, understanding how it works. It may not be as intuitive, because Storytel also has a very small team right now at the moment. You know, they just started. But I enjoy the website, and honestly, for me, I really just want to take note of the books that I have read during the year, so I don't really need too much to do like intricate challenges or etc. And the stats are really good, because they do have stats. And I think that people at Storytel actually listen to the readers and to the users, something that Goodreads doesn't do very well. But again, I don't know a lot about Goodreads, because I was just using it for the most basic thing, just keeping track of the books I read and keeping track of my challenge for the year. But anyway, if you want to check out Storytel, if you don't know it, then please do so, and if you feel like it, you can also follow me there. I do not post reviews there most of the times, except for giving it the, you know, 5 stars or 4 stars or whatever, but I do not post reviews on it. I write all of my reviews on my Instagram account and then here on the podcast. But let's start with the first book that I've read, and that was actually the book that I finished the year with, and the book that I started the year with, was Station 11 by Emily St. John Mandel. And I did that because last year I've read an advanced reading copy of her new book that is coming out in April, called Sea of Tranquility, and I absolutely adored it. I really, really loved that book. It was, I think, my favorite book of the year. And I had never read anything by Mandel, but people are gushing about a lot of, like, about Station 11 mostly. So I just decided to give the new one a try, and I got approved for the E-Arc. So yeah, I started with that. Because I liked it so much, then I picked up Station 11. I was actually considering not picking up Station 11 because it was right at the end of the year, like just a few days before the end of the year. And I thought, what if I finish this one super quick? Because so many people say it's so good. And then I can't count it anymore for 2021 reads because I already did all of my best reads of the year's choices. But then if it's really, really good, it will not count for 2022 anymore. But as it happens, on the 31 of December, I was reading that book and I finished it on the 1st of January. So, because it reads so well and I really loved it. I still prefer Sea of Tranquility. I still think it is better because, you know, it deals with other themes that maybe are, you know, closer to my heart or meant more to me. But Station 11 is really amazing. And it was honestly very weird to read a book about a pandemic while in a pandemic, and of course completely different from the book. In the book things are extreme, but it was still very weird, especially the first pages when, you know, the pandemic is starting. But really, really good. And I actually bought The Glass Hotel now because it's the only book by Mandel that I haven't read, and I'm gonna pick it up this year sometime. I'm really curious because I didn't hear so much talk about it. I heard a lot more about Station 11 and about the new one, Sea of Tranquility, than I've heard about the Glass Hotel, or the Glass Hotel, I think that's the name. But I'll pick it up this year and then let you all know how it was. The other book I've read was In the Dream House by Carmen Maria Machado, and that was actually a reread, and I've picked it up because there's like this book club that I host for my work, and people wanted to read this book, and because I loved it the first time around, I just thought it was a great idea that more people were picking it up. And it actually made for a very interesting conversation around the book, but also around the theme, of course. And the first time around, I've listened to it actually in audiobook, read by Machado, and this time I read it in print. And it's interesting because when you listen to the audio, you don't have as much time to, you know, to reflect and to think about what is being told to you, at least not in the spot. And in print was super interesting. I could, you know, highlight, I could just think about it and stop a little bit and consider what I was reading. And there were a lot of things that I forgot because I always forget a lot about books. And yeah, it was super interesting and I still love this book very much. Even though I really love the sphere, like the atmosphere that it gets created by Carmen Maria Machado reading it, I really thought it was very interesting to assimilate the story with more time and take my time to read and to think about things in print. Even though, again, I cannot choose between the audio and the print because the audio is so good, but the print really offers a different experience. And I usually don't read print, non-fiction in print. I have a lot of trouble, but this one, because it reads kind of like fiction, it was really nice to read and I really enjoyed it again. The first advanced reading copy that I've read this year was Radium Girls by C. I think that's how you pronounce the name of the artist and the writer, because it's a C and a Y. I think the actual name is Cirelle or something like that, but this is like their artist name. And it talks about this group of girls. And when I picked up the advanced reading copy, when I requested it, I actually thought the story was about the women that died in that factory accident that we hear about on the 8th of March, that we talk about and that we, well, not celebrate, but that we have the 8th of March for as Women's Day. And I thought it was the same thing. But then as I actually did some research, I realized that it was not. I realized that the Radium Girls were another group of women who worked in a factory, and they worked basically putting ink on the pointers, the handles of watches, so that they would glow in the dark and that you could see what time it was, even in the dark. Except that they were instructed to be faster, to do their work quicker, in between strokes of paint, to lick the pencils. And then, of course, because the ink contained radium, they became sick eventually. But like the sickness came later and they started dying, and they knew each other, of course. And then there was obviously a lawsuit against the factory because they knew what they were doing. They just did not tell any of the girls, because everyone working at the factory were girls. They did not tell any of the girls what happened. And this graphic novel, I really, really love the artwork. It's very beautiful with pastel colors, the glow-in-the-dark way that, like, the way that they managed to do that is super, super pretty. And even though it is a short story, I think that it helped a lot to me, especially. I had never heard of these girls and of this case, and it really helped to understand the story. And, like, the characters are very interesting and they have their own personalities. So I think it was a very good way to tell this story. In audio, because everyone has been talking about it, or at least last year, was Crying in H Mart by Michelle Zauner. And yeah, so many people were saying so many good things about this. So I snatched the audiobook and I really love memoirs. Like, I did not know Michelle Zauner. I didn't know who she was. I didn't know about her band. But I'm always interested in knowing people through memoirs. Even when I don't know the work they're doing, I just like discovering them that way. Because very often you find very interesting people and you would know nothing about the person. You would only know about their art unless, you know, you read it through a memoir or something like that, or unless you do your own research. So to have Michelle telling her own story and letting us know about her story and getting to know like that was super interesting. And especially there's like this relationship that she has with her mother that is kind of complicated, because like she loves her mother, of course, and then eventually her mother gets sick. But her mother, I think, also has, like most mothers, I guess, or many mothers, this kind of toxicity that they think, oh yeah, I'm doing this and I'm saying this because it's the best for my daughter or for my kid. But in fact, it's quite toxic. So to see those two sides, the fact that, you know, her mother, and she tells things about her mother that are kind of toxic, and you can see that probably caused a lot of trauma. But then also this relationship, because it is my mom and I don't want to lose her. It was super interesting. It was very, very nice to see, and very emotional as well, the way Michelle opens up and just, you know, lets you in. Especially she talks a lot about being Korean and like the whole situation with being biracial and your culture, you know, like her mom was Korean and her father American. So you kind of see like how you recognize yourself and where do you stand, because you kind of feel like you don't belong anywhere in a sense, because you don't live in Korea, so you don't know exactly everything about the culture, especially, for example, cooking. She talks a lot about cooking and about regaining that connection to her culture through cooking. But yeah, on the other hand, you also are seen almost as a foreigner or someone different in the country that you lived your entire life in, and should be your country and your culture as well. So that was super interesting. I've read, I think, this month one book in Dutch, and there was a very short graphic novel called Mindfulness en andere moderne ongemakken by Sylvia van Omen. And that is just like the two characters is, if I'm not mistaken, a bunny and a cat. And it's just a collection of funny strips with little daily things. So honestly, it's a great book for a gift. And we had it at the bookstore I work at. And I thought, yeah, we've had this here for a while, but I really like it. So I'm just gonna add it to my collection. And I did. The next book is The Bass Rock by Evie Wild. I bought this book, honestly, first and foremost because of the beautiful cover. Because there is one cover of the book, the paperback, I think UK edition, that is absolutely gorgeous. It has the actually Bass Rock, which is in Scotland, which I did not know. And there's like this, instead of the face of a woman, but then with like this deep blue, it's absolutely beautiful. But I loved the story. And I posted this on TikTok, actually. It is curious to me how, you know, men don't read stories by women, or most men don't read stories by women. But then you read books written by women, and so often there are instances of violence against women by men. And it's things that, you know, and men know happen in real life, that it must be quite confronting to read a book where you see your gender represented in a way that is so mean, because it is real, because it is the truth. This kind of abuse happens and daily. So, and in this book, the main characters are actually three women, two more than other, because it's also in different times. So it's not all, it doesn't take space in the same years. And but there's a connection, and the connection between the three of them is the base rock, and there's this house in Scotland. And these women, they are so strong, and they are so interesting, and, you know, you're just discovering them, and they are very interesting in their own way and very peculiar. And I absolutely loved this book. I really did. If you're thinking, if you saw it going around social media as well and you're considering it, I really love the narrative. I read it very quick because the way that Evie Wilde writes, it just really pulls you to the page. At least it did to me. I really liked it. I had another advanced reading copy that I got of a graphic novel called Space Story, and it was written by Fiona Ostby. Yeah, Fiona Ostby. And basically, I love the artwork in this one because it is like a play on colors, and you have like blue and yellow and red, and each time frame has a different color. And basically, this is another story about the end of the world, which I think I've read like three this month alone. And it's a story about the end of the world in which people have to change from, like, you know, Earth to other planets. But to go, there are certain, like, you have to be well in certain ways. And sometimes they don't have space anymore, so you can't evacuate anymore. But there's, like, this queer couple that they meet on Earth and they get together. But then there's also the space times in which they are separated, the space scenes. They are separated, they are not together. And then there's this attempt to, you know, reach each other and to get together again. And it's also a very short graphic novel, but it's super sweet. And yeah, it's just very nice to read, and it doesn't have a bad ending. I don't want to spoil it, but just so you know, you can go in happy. And it's also really nice to see, you know, queer couples in media, because there's never enough, in a sense, especially like graphic novels, and the more you can get, the better. And yeah, it's just a very sweet story, and I really loved it. I actually am not sure when it's coming out, but if you think that you like end of the world kind of sour sweet stories, then you should really check out this one. Finally, I have read Passing by Nella Larsen. One of the reasons why I was not putting off, but I hadn't picked it up yet, is that because the book reminded me, the premise at least, a lot about The Vanishing Half by Brit Bennett, which is one of my favorite books. Because this is the story of two women who are white passing, and I had never read any book by Nella Larsen before. So basically, the premise is this one about, you know, passing as white, and two women, like in Brit Bennett, is two sisters, and one of them passes by white, the other one lives her life as a black woman. But the story is completely different, and honestly, it's a short book, but the relationships that are formed, like, within the book, and the things that are happening are so intense, and so much happens in so little time, in a sense, and the ending is spectacular, and I was not expecting the ending to be like that. But there's a lot of tension in the book. It's a very tense book because there's always something happen and you don't know what the outcome is going to be. You just can't guess it. So yeah, if you're thinking about reading Nella Larsen, I would really recommend Passing. I have another one by her ready at home, like on my to-be-read to read, which is Quicksand, because I bought like a collection with both those books. But Passing was really, really good, and I really loved the audio. I'm very curious to watch also the Netflix series, but that's for later. One of the first books I've read this year was The Confession by Jessie Burton. This book was actually on my to-be-read for 1 or 2 years already. I don't remember if I bought it in 2020 or 2021, but it has like this beautiful cover, and it's a very big book, and it takes place in two distinct time frames. So one time frame is in 1982, and the other one is in 2017-2018. Basically, in the first frame of time, 1982, there is this writer, and she falls in love with another woman who is a lot younger than her. And then eventually her book gets turned into a movie, and they move from London to LA. And when they move to LA, there is a lot of tension there, a lot of conflicts conflict that begins, because Elise, that's the other woman. So basically the author is Connie, the other woman is Elise. She kind of feels like she doesn't know very well what she's doing there, and there's all this attention on Connie, so it's a bit complicated to deal with all those feelings. And then eventually, when you go to 2017, there is Elise's daughter, and the mother disappeared when she was a baby, so she knows nothing about her mother. But finally, her father decides to tell her, listen, Connie knew your mother, they had a relationship, so try to, you know, if you want to know more about your mother, try to talk to her. But Rosie, and that's the daughter, she kind of gets into, you know, those kind of situations in which you get into, you don't know very well how. But then the best way to deal with it is to kind of go with it and kind of lie. So somehow through a misunderstanding, she gets close to Connie, but Connie doesn't know who she is. And it's very, very interesting to know how things develop from then on, especially because Rosie has troubles in her own life with her boyfriend and what she wants with her life, what she wants to do. She's kind of like in a place where she does not know how her future is going to be or what she wants for her future, but she wants more than what she has. So again, super interesting, very well written. I'm just sorry that I didn't pick it up before, but I guess this was the perfect time to pick it up because I loved it. Now, this was one of the favorites of the month, another End of the World read. And there was Moon of the Crusted Snow by Wabgeshig Rice. And Rice is a native writer, and this book was recommended to me by Rare Opal Reads on Instagram. She has like a great account, so you can check her out. And I was looking for more books about the end of the world, and I got recommended this one. And because I really like indigenous writing, I decided to pick it up on audio, and it was amazing. I really loved it. Like, the story takes place in a reservation, and suddenly the power goes off and nothing works. And they kind of realize that, you know, they're gonna have to start surviving for themselves instead of waiting for the trucks with all the food, etc., to come into town. But they have ways to do that. You know, they're native, they know how to deal with, you know, nature and survive even without power, even without energy, and in community. And then someone, like a kid who was studying in Toronto, comes back and he says, well, it's not just a reservation, and that's why nobody has arrived yet to kind of help us out. It's the whole country, or maybe it's not really obvious if it's the whole country or the whole world, but definitely the whole country is in trouble. Like, we managed to escape somehow and now we're here, we're back, but things are chaos. And then there's one white guy that shows up. He ends up in the reservation by following something, and he knows how to, you know, to survive in the wild. But the thing is, as soon as he arrives in the reservation, there starts to be a break between groups. So while before, some people were discontent about the way that the chefs of the community were dealing with things, so they ended up with the white guy arriving. It kind of became like the one controlling the group of people were discontent, like, just, you know, come to my team, I will make sure we have food, etc., etc. So there begins, and I'm going to use this word again, a lot of tension between the white guy and the people of the reservation, except that the people in the reservation, they don't want any trouble, so they just kind of like, you know, what are we going to do, just let him do whatever he wants to do, we'll keep an eye on him, and we do our own thing. And of course, the guy comes with a white guy complex, and in the book he even says it, like, oh, always the white guy that comes and saves the day, without understanding how ironic and wrong, of course, that is. And so basically, there's another group of people who show up, etc., etc., and things start going down mainly because of that white guy. And I'm not going to tell you the end, of course, I don't want to spoil the book for anyone, but it's super well written. Things are so well thought, specifically if you think about, you know, colonialism and the way white people very often think that they are going to save someone, like the white savior, but then they just end up messing up everything and not knowing their place. Very interesting to think about how those relationships develop and the gaps that start existing because of that. So apparently there's a sequel coming at the end of this year, and I really want to read that one, so yeah, I'm going to keep that one in mind. Because this month I have been reading a lot of advanced reading copies, because last year was terrible for advanced reading copies, I kept requesting them, but did I read them? I did not. So this year I was trying to, you know, compensate for the things that I left behind last year. I still have a lot to do and a lot to run, because I was away, like I didn't have a Kindle for 3 months. Because my old Kindle broke, and then I wanted to wait for Black Friday to have some discount on my Kindle. I bought a Kindle Paperwhite, which actually I love. It's a lot lighter than the other one, and it's just thin, and it feels super nice on your hands, and has super nice light. But I wanted some discount, and I managed to get it. But during the 3 months, I didn't have a Kindle. I wasn't reading any digital books, but I was definitely still requesting advanced reading copies, and luckily still been approved for those copies. So there are some books right now that I have no idea why I requested them, because I cannot remember anything from the premise or whatever. So I'm gonna have to check Adolf Weiss again. But that means that I have a lot of books to, you know, get to in time, I hope, to review them. One that I picked up, it's called Woman Eating by Claire Coda, and this book is about a vampire, and it's like the vampires. This is a bit weird, because I kind of have a feeling, oh, it's this vampire's first life, but a vampire doesn't die, so a vampire doesn't have two or three or four lives. But basically, she is a millennial. She has just been born, you know, like not just been born, but she's in her 20s, and she's very young, a very young vampire, and she has to deal with finding her way in the world like any other person would. She's an artist, so she has become an intern for this art gallery, and yeah, and she has to deal with what she want from life, and dealing with being hungry, but she doesn't know how to get blood. Her mother used to feed her, and they used to have like pig blood, but she does not have a supplier like her mom had, so now she's hungry and she's lost, and she doesn't know what to do with her life. So basically she has to deal with both millennial young person in their 20s problems and vampire problems. Super well written, a new take on vampires, at least that I know of, but I haven't read much of vampires. But I really enjoy this one. I thought the plot was super interesting. I loved the ending so much. I cannot tell you how much I loved the ending. It was just chef's kiss. I loved it. The book, if I'm not mistaken, is also coming out in April, so you want to keep this one on your radar for sure. Yet another graphic novel that I have read as an advanced reading copy is Voices That Count by Megan Brown. And this is a story, actually it's basically a graphic novel written by different women, so Megan Brown is the editor, and it talks about everything that is really a woman's issue specifically. So, you know, sexual abuse and having the world basically tell you what you should or shouldn't do. But each artist uses their own art form to talk about these stories and to tell their own personal stories. So, which makes it very diverse and very interesting to read. On the other hand, I don't think the book starts the best way, because the first story has something that it irked me a bit, because in a sense, I know this is someone's story, and I am not trying to invalidate that person's story, of course, but it does put a man in the center of the story, and it does give this one man incredible power and incredible importance in the life of this woman, which I thought that for a book about, you know, voices that count, about the voices of women, was maybe not the best way to start, or maybe not the best story to include. But of course, it's an option, and it's the story the artist wanted to tell, so I respect that. But the rest was really good, and I really enjoyed it. The next e-arc that I read was A Visit to Moscow, also a graphic novel, and it was written by Anna Olswanger, and it is the story of an actual real experience of an American rabbi who traveled to Soviet Union in the 60s, and he there meets a family of Jewish people, and of course it was dangerous at that time, so he kind of tries to help them out. And again, I don't want to ruin any of the book for anyone who wants to read it, and it's a small graphic novel. I really like the art as well. It was kind of different from everything else that I've actually any artwork that I've read this month, but it was short but interesting story. another book that I read right at the beginning of the year and that I had on my to-be-read for, again, over a year since it came out, pretty much, Queenie by Candice Carty-Williams. And let me tell you, I like the book. Let me just start by saying that. I really like the book. But I haven't been pissed off and frustrated by a book and by a character in so long. You know when you want to throw the book across the room or on the floor or on the wall? Just like, Jesus Christ, man. Just you want to shake the main character until they wake the fuck up? Pardon my French. This was it. Like, the book is really well written. I love that it's about this person in, you know, their late, I think it's late 20s, getting themselves in a place in life they did not expect to be at the time. Things just change, you know, like she had, the main character, Queenie, had a boyfriend and he kind of wants to take a break. And she finds herself in this situation that she does not want to be. She wants to be in that relationship. She wants to be successful and do better at work. But she also doesn't seem to have the mental space to do that, or at least to be understood, to write about the things that she wants to write about. Like, that's very interesting. And again, the narrative, the narration, the writing is really good. But the character, she does, and she makes so many freaking daft decisions. Like, Jesus Christ, is like, woman, you're constantly making these decisions that are like the worst things for you. And it's stuff that there were at least a few things that she could have just decided not to do and be more responsible. And that really pissed me off, because she was very irresponsible in some ways. And it's not that she was losing control of her life, is that there was really this specific thing that she was being super irresponsible, and it was just making it like, I just want to punch you in the face, honestly. Just get your shit together, woman. But the end also was a little bit of too happy. Like, things kind of rounded up and not everything was perfect, but the way that the ending was written, it was very too happy-go-lucky. And especially in a book where so many bad things happen and, you know, like, most of it are downs, to get to the end and have all this up, in a sense, was just too perfect for me, which sometimes happens in books and that's fine. It doesn't ruin the rest of the thing. But honestly, I just want to shake this character. I just want to shake her. But I can't, because it's a fictional character. Again, I think I still gave the book 4 or 5 stars. Really, I can recommend it if you can go through this, you know, being a bit frustrated with a character and empathize with a character, which I guess maybe I didn't empathize completely, then it's going to be a good story for you. But okay, let's move on. The next book was The Melting by Lisa Spitt, and Lisa is actually a Dutch author. Actually, she's Flemish, she's Belgian. But I was considering reading the book in Dutch, but then I saw how big it was, and I just decided to get the English one, because then I can read it a lot faster. And it is an author that I wanted to read, because we have our second book out, is in the shop, and a lot of people are interested in her writing, and I had heard a lot of good things, so I decided to pick up in English just, you know, to get it done. This book, though, I could tell, and there was a translator's note, but I could tell that it was translated from Dutch. There are a few grammar things and a few things that are told and translated by the translator that you really see that they came from the Dutch originally, which didn't really ruin the experience for me. But I think, yeah, the next one by her, I will definitely read it in Dutch. And this book could have been perfect. This book made me write an article for Book Riot about shock value, which is something I've been considering before with other books. But when I read this book again, it made me think about it. And I was like, I have to write. And I wrote Is Now Up, Is Now Life for Book Riot about that, about the worth of shock value and how sometimes authors do seem to write for shock value. They seem to write to shock you, even when that whatever they are writing that it's meant to shock you does not contribute a lot to the plot. The Melting failed in that instance, that up to a point, it was believable. It was very interesting. The story takes place in a very small town. It's like 3 kids, and one of the kids, actually, the parents own a cow farm, so a milk farm. And I could relate to that, because as I was growing up, I had a friend whose parents also had a milk farm, and I used to go and help with the cows. And so that was very relatable. But then it got to a point in which it became so graphic and so violent and so sexual that honestly it put me off, and it became a little bit unbelievable. So it you know, it passed the threshold from, yes, this makes sense, it's believable and makes me emotional and makes me, you know, visual, and I can understand and relate to this, or at least read it and believe it. And it passed that, and it went into the, this is bullshit. There's no way. Like, if you know a small town, you know, there's no way. It just, there's no way. So it was a shame. I still gave it 4.5 because, again, it reads, as we say in Dutch, like a train. And the story was really interesting. The plot really well made. There's like a connection that I only saw like 80% of the book, what was actually going to happen at the end. But that little, yeah, the shocking things at the end of the book just became too much to be believable, and I'm really sorry for that. So I hope our other book is kind of different than that, but yeah, kind of lost something when it went beyond what it should have been. Still, quite a good book. I've read another book, my third now, by Stephen Graham Jones, and there was Night of the Mannequins, which I've heard a lot of people talk about, and that's the thing. I do enjoy a lot a certain type of horror, and that's the type of horror like The Only Good Indians and Tender is the Flesh, which is, again, can be gory, but it kind of goes sometimes beyond a certain, you know, level. It's just very horror. But it also makes you think about a lot of things, and I really like that. Night of the Mannequins was really interesting, even though it is not the type of horror that I love. I like the plot. Again, I always love, you know, Stephen Graham Jones' writing. He always manages to deliver a plot. And there's one thing that I've noticed, and so far I've read, as I said, three books by him. There was The Only Good Indians, it was My Heart is a Chainsaw, and then now Night of the Mannequins. And somehow you never really believe that the thing that the main character believes in, that is true. You, especially in My Heart is a Chainsaw, I was listening to Jade talking, that's the main character of the book, and I was like, girl, what the heck are you going on about? Like, you what? But then in the end, they're right. And in Night of the Mannequins, it was the same thing. Like, that you're just going out of your mind. But then, yeah, no, they're not going out of their mind. They're actually, I think, right. Because this one has a bit of an open ending, but you kind of realize that, hey, he wasn't making all this stuff up. But it's kind of crazy as well. It is kind of crazy, and I really like that. So I will definitely be reading more of Stephen Graham Jones, for sure. Yeah, like, I continue to recommend him, especially, once again, The Only Good Indians. Read that book. Now, I think this was the second book that I've read. It's like, I got it as last one here, but I think it was the second I've read. It was a book that was offered to me by a friend, gifted, and I haven't picked it up yet. I hadn't, but I did this year again, because, again, I wanted to start picking up books that were on my to-be-read for a very long time, and this was Unbelievable by Ken Armstrong and T. Christian Miller. And it's actually about true story. It's a Netflix documentary as well, and it is trigger warning about sexual assault, about rape, and it's about these women who are not believed by the police because the case of rape that they described was just like too unbelievable. The way that it happened, people couldn't believe that it had happened that way, but then different places, like different polices and detectives, kind of started seeing a pattern, and they realized that it was actually truth. If you have seen the Netflix documentary, it's probably worth to read the book. I don't know, because I haven't watched the Netflix special, but I enjoy the book, even though in the beginning I was underlining a few things that were rubbing me the wrong way. It was too sexist, especially with, you know, a situation as serious as rape. But then you kind of realize, well, it is based on the truth, and it is based on what these people believed at the moment. Because there's this police officer who says, oh, I'm, you know, most people say believe the victim. I'm more like, well, everyone is innocent until proven wrong. And that, of course, pisses everyone off. So I was reading that and I was like, oh, I'm gonna hate this person already. And then, but then, well, again, things changed, and they changed their mind as well. And there's a lot to learn from there. So yeah, those were the books that I've read. There were 17 books. I have actually a feeling that I read another one that I could not add it to Storygraph for some reason. Probably an advanced reading copy, but I don't know what it was at the moment. So I'm gonna stay here with the 17. I had really good reads as well. So I'm not like, I'm happy with the books that I have read in January. I have no idea how February is gonna go. If I'm gonna, you know, keep up the rhythm, but I do have quite a few things that I have planned for the month that I'm excited about, and I will, of course, you know, next month come back to talk about it and to let you know all about it. If you want to keep better track of what I'm reading, etc., come talk to me on Instagram, and all of the links, etc., are going after the ending, after the outro, which you are going to listen to right now. Bye-bye! You can access today's show's notes via my pod page, which you can find along with all of my social media links at linktree.com/Karina Pereira. If you have enjoyed this episode, please consider supporting A Story of Sorts on Patreon. Patreon is a platform which allows you to contribute monthly to the podcast in exchange for extra content, such as early access to episodes, a shout-out at the end of an episode and on Instagram, and choosing a theme for me to talk about on the podcast. You can become a patron at patreon.com/astoryofsorts. Leaving a review would also be highly appreciated. Don't forget to subscribe to get a notification when the next episode hits. I'll talk to you then, and thank you for listening.